Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another Nepsis podcast, Invest with Clarity with Mark Pearson. Today, we're going to talk about often wrong, but never in doubt is the title that Mark came up with. And I have absolutely no idea what in God's name we're talking about today, Mark. So enlighten
Isn't
us.
Isn't that usually the case? I mean, well, don't I usually throw you a curveball or three?
You know, today's curveball is just in the title. I have a little bit of an inkling on where you're going, but God only knows where you go, Mark. So I'm just going to follow, brother. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate the love. Well, as it says, often wrong, but never in doubt. Who's wrong? What's wrong? And that is the predictions that people insist on following in making their investment decisions. I often use the phrase, people spend too much time prognosticating, postulating, and speculating. But, you know, if we didn't do that, then we wouldn't have analysts, right? We wouldn't have Wall Street, per se, to go out and try to sell ideas and sell viewpoints, right? So you get all these viewpoints and all these ideas when the reality of it is, investing is really about investing in great businesses. It's about investing in great assets.
But that doesn't make news. That doesn't make headlines. How can we get people's attention with your process to override these often wrong people, but still insanely confident, even though that they're wrong over 50% of the time?
Well, first of all, great question and great segue. You know, the question is, how can investors recognize the pride in those so-called experts, right? Who purport to be able to predict the future, and most importantly, how listening to these people hinders meeting the investor's long-term goals. In other words, it's like the last podcast we did when we talked about what do investors look at when it comes to choosing what investment vehicles to use, right? Historical returns, fees, benchmarks, yada, 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 right? Well, in this case, we're talking about how investors look at predictions in how they establish their portfolio, how they establish investing. I'll give you a classic example I may have mentioned in the last podcast. I can't remember. I know some advisors who got money in at the end of the year, at the bottom of the correction, are still sitting in cash today because they think, quote unquote, the markets are going lower. And why do they think the markets are going lower? Who knows? But so far, they've been dead wrong to the extent that, you know, the S&P is up, what, 19, 20% year to date? Do you know how long it would take you to make up 20 percentage points of alpha if you, quote unquote, just invest in the market? The other thing I always tell people, Matt, right, is you don't invest in the stock market. You invest in businesses. The stock market is nothing more than the greatest tool ever created to bring buyers and sellers of businesses together. So the point of today's podcast is that people spend a lot of time listening to predictions. How many times when you were in the business did you hear someone ask you, what do you think the stock market's going to do this year?
Dude, that just happened to me yesterday.
Okay. Well, there you go. Okay, so here, when people ask me that question, I try to be nice. I try to be sensitive. But my response is very simple. What stock market? And they look at you kind of funny, like, what do you mean, what stock market? That's the look you get. And they say, what do you, the stock market? And my response is, what stock market? And people can't answer. Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500. Okay, well, that's not a stock market, that's an index. So maybe you should ask, what do you think the index is going to do this year? Which is still a stupid question to ask, because who knows? There's too many variables. This is why you can't predict. You know, it's the whole idea we've talked about in the past, the addiction to prediction. In fact, I think we did the podcast of my top 10 predictions for 2019.
I do remember that fondly.
As a matter of fact, I've been right on all of them so far. Isn't that amazing?
People need to go back and listen to that podcast, what they need to do.
Do you remember the email I got from some guy who said, these aren't predictions, these are truths?
Yeah.
I said, that's the point of the point.
Thanks for proving that point for me there, man.
Exactly. But my point is that people think and view that they invest in the stock market when the stock market is nothing more than the greatest tool ever created to bring buyers and sellers of what together? Businesses. And the reason why people rely so heavily on predictions, again, is that they don't know what they own and why they own it. So let me give you a great Chinese proverb, quote, "Those who have knowledge don't predict, and those who predict don't have knowledge." This is why we don't predict what markets or indexes are going to do. All it does is put you in a position to be wrong and second guessed.
Now, but they argue the wrong thing, though. I'm sorry to interrupt there, but they're wrong. But it's the doubt thing. It's that confidence that comes across. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm going to try to get.
Yeah.
But
please,
you have the same level of conviction and confidence than the guy on TV who yells at you and rolls up his sleeves. What is the difference between that person who will remain nameless and Mark Pearson?
Well, I think there are some similarities to him to the extent that we talk about individual businesses and investing in great companies. Warren Buffett is really the only big name besides Jim that talks about owning great businesses. And I think that investors rely on predictions. They rely on people making these, you know, in some cases, just ridiculous predictions. I mean, we've seen predictions that the market's going to go down lower than it did in 2008. You know, we're going to see a 90% correction. Or, you know, they put all these predictions out there that end up being wrong. But here's the thing. Have you ever noticed, and I think this is really the gist of the whole thing, Wall Street communicates with investors on a very linear level. Let me explain myself. What do I mean by linear? What I mean by linear is they give you a finite time frame. I think the market's going to do X in the next year. I think in the next month, it's going to do this or that. I believe that we're going to see a recession at the end of the year. How many, we talked about on a previous podcast how people look at a statement at the end of the quarter, end of the month, or end of the year, right? And they make investment decisions and they make assumptions based on a number in a finite time, at a very specific period of time. That's because Wall Street teaches investors to look at things on a very absolute basis. But investing is not absolute. It is fluid. It is ongoing. And as I often tell people when they look at their statement at the end of each year, I always tell them it means jack squat. It means nothing. Because until you sell something, only then do you make or lose money. And when I go to investors and say to them who are looking at Nepsis, and I say to them, let me ask you a question. What was your capital gains like last year? What do you mean my capital gains? Well, like, what investments did you make money in? Well, I got this fund, I got that fund, we got this, we got that. We had short-term capital gains, we had long-term capital gains that we had to pay some taxes on these mutual funds. You know how it works. Mutual funds pay out their capital gains at the end of each year, right? Mm-hmm. How about you ask the investor, where did those capital gains come from? Don't you think if you're an investor, you want to know where your capital gains came from? Why is it important to know where capital gains come from? Because it gives you a deeper level of knowledge of what you own and how it impacts your overall asset allocation. It gets back to the idea about indexing and why you shouldn't use indexes as a comparison, because you don't even know how an index is structured and how it calculates rate of returns. I mean, for the love of Pete, Matt, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is a price-weighted index. It uses the stock price to calculate the index. The price of something? The S&P 500 uses market cap weighted index. We're valuing our portfolio based on prices and market cap. How about I share with you a novel concept, Matt? Can I do that for you?
I'd love that, yeah.
How about we assess the value of a business based on profitability, growth rate, economic moat, return on capital, return on assets, debt levels. How about we make our decisions based on that and not the price of something? How many cocktail parties have you been to where an investor says, hey, you should look at this XYZ stock. It's at $2 a share. It's really cheap. Right? You've had to have heard people say that, right?
I just got
this stock is super cheap. Or Apple. Geez, Apple's really expensive. It's $200. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean it's expensive? Well, it's $200. Yeah. So does Berkshire Hathaway's stock expensive at $125,000 or whatever it's at right now? I mean, price has absolutely nothing to do with the value of a company. Let me say that again. Price has nothing to do with the value of the company, of the investment. You want to make investments based on the future value of something. Because if the value of something is the value it is today, that doesn't mean it's going to be the value in the future. Does that make sense?
Yes.
To quote another Chinese philosopher, Confucius, quote, to know that we know what we know, and to know what we don't know, what we do not know, that is true knowledge.
Are you sure that wasn't Yoda?
Let me say that one more time. Yes, Chinese philosopher, Confucius, say, to know that we know what we know, and to know we do not know what we do not know. That is true knowledge.
Yeah.
The bottom line is you can sit and listen to prognostication, postulation, and speculation, which is, by the way, often wrong, but never in doubt, because people will continue to listen to predictions to appease their emotional capacity for investing. They'll either go to cash, they'll either stay in cash, they won't buy because everyone's saying it's super expensive. How many times have you heard people say, geez, the stock market's super expensive? People are on CNBC every day saying the stock market's super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, that is the most broad, ridiculous, dumb statement I've ever heard in my life. How can you say the stock market is expensive? First of all, which stock market are you talking about? You talking about the DAX? You talking about the Hong Kong? Are you talking about the Russell 2000? Are you talking about the S&P 500? What stock market are you saying is overly expensive? And by the way, when you say the stock market is overly expensive, are you saying that every stock in that market, in that index, is expensive? Of course not.
Yeah.
We have reduced investing to such generalities that the average investor can only make investment decisions based upon prognostications, postulations, and speculations, and thinking about that they're investing in the market, when the reality is every single investor owns a mutual fund, every single investor owns an ETF, every single investor owns an individual stock, has an equity position in a publicly traded company, i.e. a business. The ability to know what you own and why you own it, rhetorical question for you, Matt. Does it give an investor an advantage or a disadvantage in investing? Tough question, huh?
I want to answer that in two ways. Seriously.
Did I just throw you off a little bit?
No. Well, first off, you said rhetorical question, so I didn't think I was actually...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, cliche.
Hey, you know, language is the only thing I've got. Getting back to the Confucius statement, which still sounded like Yoda, even though you read it twice. Because it could have been a Yoda statement too, by the way.
Yes.
Yoda did say stuff like that. But anyway, I know that I don't know crap, right? And we've established that on this podcast for a long time now. But I have been listening to you, okay?
Right.
And as I've been listening to you, when I asked you what is the difference between you and the guy on television, you actually went in a very different direction. And I was really surprised. Because I thought you were going to go to process, to discipline. And the things that I've heard you say so many times, we have no idea why he makes those decisions in the way that he does. It's like this nebulous black box.
Mm-hmm.
But you have explained on this podcast for what, a year now, and all of the stuff that you did way before we ever got together, that mm-hmm. you have a process, that you have a discipline. And that is the big difference between these predictors.
Right.
Because you're not looking at it as a prediction. You're looking at as part of the NEPSIS process. Am I wrong there, dude? Or
yeah, no. Okay. All right. I'm going to, as my good friend Matt Halloran would say, I'm going to unpack that for a minute. You, to a certain extent, you're correct. You are surprised that I didn't go process, but that's because the process is the next layer below what we're talking about today. So in other words, do you own individual businesses or do you own mutual funds and ETFs? What's better? We believe in knowing what you own and why you own it. We believe in investing in businesses. I think Jim Cramer is the same way. Warren Buffett's the same way. But just as you don't know Jim's process, you don't know Warren Buffett's process either, right? But they believe in investing in great companies over time, okay? We believe in investing in great companies over time. When you sit down with a prospective client or people tuning into this podcast, the next logical question to ask is what you just asked, which is, okay, you believe owning individual businesses, but Matt, how many times have you heard people say, isn't owning individual stocks risky?
Oh, yeah.
You hear that all the time, right? What? That's risky, isn't it? And I always love when people say that. It just tells you how this industry has got people so whacked out in the wrong direction. That's why the average holding period of a stock 50 years ago was 8 years. Today, it's 8 months. We have turned the industry into short-term thinking and thinking about investing in index. And while Wall Street tells people to buy index, buy index, buy index, it does not address the bigger problem with investing, which is the behavioral aspect, which we have talked about in the Dalbar study year after year, that investors buy at quote-unquote index highs, they sell at index lows. Why is that? Because they have this mentality that owning stocks is risky, owning businesses is risky. It depends on the business, and it depends, most importantly, on the process. So the question the investor must ask is, okay, if you're going to own individual businesses, why is that better than mutual funds and ETFs besides the fact that you know what you own and why you own it? What differentiates our process from a Warren Buffett or a Jim Cramer? Well, first of all, strategic cost averaging, right? The ability to use volatility as your friend. We tout you must have volatility. As a matter of fact, the greater the volatility, I believe the greater returns. Now, that is counterintuitive to a lot of what a lot of people think, but it is because of the process that allows you to execute on a on that process to help investors be successful. So, right, I can understand why you would say, I thought you would go to process. What makes you different? But I can't tell you if my process is different than Warren Buffett's or Jim Cramer's because I don't know their process.
Gotcha.
Just as they don't know my process. But clearly, they've had success in investing in businesses over time, just as we have. The idea of NEPSIS, the idea of ultimate clarity, the idea of investing with clarity is the idea that the more you understand about what you own and why you own it, the more apt you are to not only stick to the investment process, but the greater flexibility you have to execute, more importantly, on your financial plan. Because it is the investments that are the fuel that drive your plan. And the cleaner the fuel, the more understanding you have of how efficient your fuel is, the more apt you are to be successful in your process. So what we're really talking about at the end of the day, and all this noise that we talk about, all these things about predictions and you know, trying to look at benchmarks and historical returns and all those things, is that we believe ultimately at the end of the day, the more efficient you are in your investment process, the more we believe we prepare you to be a successful investor and accomplish your long-term goals. That is investing with clarity, knowing what you own and why you own it.
Damn, that was a good wrap up.
I didn't even get to some of the juice I wanted to get to, but that's okay.
Well, can we save the juice?
Yeah, we'll save the juice. Right. We'll put on a second podcast.
You know, I do have to say, you got pretty fired up there for a few minutes. That was freaking awesome, dude. It was awesome.
Well, thank you. I just, you know, I don't blame I don't think investors are idiots. I just think that as Confucius say, we don't know what we don't know. And because we don't know what we don't know, we look for ways to scratch the itch. And the only way we can scratch that itch is, for lack of a better phrase, to reduce it to the ridiculous or make it as simple as possible, which is invest in an index, do benchmark comparisons to see if you're a good money manager or not, and to listen to predictions to make our decisions about how we should invest. And I've talked about this before. The reality is, for people who will hear this podcast, how many of you listened to predictions to make the investment decisions you made and then went back to determine whether or not that prediction was right or not? No one does, right? So we follow these predictions and we don't even know if those predictions are right or not. Now, how's that for a little bit of some irony?
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, yeah, I could go on. I could get fired up some more if you want.
Well, in the, you know, keeping time top of mind here, we I don't know if I want you to get super fired up, but we're going to save the juice. We're going to save your fired up because we're going to address this more and more. I have a feeling because I don't know if this is just that, you know, I'm paying more attention to this recently or that people are asking me more often, but I have a feeling that these predictions, these postulations are going to get louder and louder, especially yes. because there's not a lot going on and yeah. they need to make stuff seem
that's
like there's
exactly
stuff
right.
going on. So
yeah, that's exactly right. Well, think about it. The title of our last quarterly, which you can get at www.investwithclarity.com. In the last quarterly, the title of it that we just put out is the bull market that was never loved. We are now in the longest bull market in history that was never loved. And I tell my advisors this, and I tell clients, Matt, this, that this is exactly the perfect type of position you want to be in as an investor, because it doesn't get super euphoric. Bull markets die on euphoria, right? So if you have a slow and steady, so to speak, long-term secular bull market, which you're in, that can go on for a long, long period of time. And in June of 2009, I wrote it in a quarterly to our clients that this would be the greatest bull market in history. I said at the beginning of this year, do not be surprised if the S&P 500 is up over 30% this year. And I said that we're still in the middle innings, if even there, in the longest bull market in history. And I've been saying that for the last 10 years, even during the midst of corrections like we had at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Corrections are nothing more than sales. Everybody wants a sale, right, when they go to the store, except in the investment world. When there are sales, people sit on their hands and they don't invest. And the reason for that, Matt, is because they don't know what they own and they don't know why they own it.
Well, as Mark just said, if you want to download any of the great thought leadership, just go to investwithclarity.com. If you do know somebody who needs to hear this podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below and then share it with your friends and family. And of course, go to the investwithclarity.com website to find out way more about what's going on. And in fact, they can go on the site now and find out that you're doing some events. Is that true?
Yep. We have our first seminar tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Called Four Tax Strategies and Investment Secrets That Put You in the Power Position. So it's a panel type of discussion, actually. It's not like a teaching class mm-hmm. kind of thing. We're super excited about it. It's our first one. Obviously, we'll tweak from there. And by the time this podcast drops, of course, it'll be passed. But yeah, we're super excited about it.
You're going to do more.
Oh, yeah, we for sure are.
So yes, please, please, please make sure that you get on the website and sign up for the communications from everybody at Nepsis and make sure that you not only listen to the podcast, but also if you want to listen to the radio show, you can watch it live streamed on Facebook. All you have to do is look up Nepsis or Invest with Clarity, and you will be able to find the live stream of the radio show. So, Mark, thank you very much for your brain.
Thanks again, boss.
Thank you all very much, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.